huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge.
Whatever you're going through now is building you for what's next. It's the way of life's checking that you deserve what's next, right? And that you can handle it.
Dapper, I've got a quote from you.
Oh, shit. Is that how we started? That could go anywhere. Go on.
I lost my career, home and dad, binged on drink and drugs to numb the pain and nearly took my life.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
It sounds like probably the most awful thing that could ever happen to anyone, but looking back on it, apart from my father dying, it's probably the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I think going from success, you know, from a normal lad to getting some fame, some online fame, and then a TV show and sort of achieving everything I've been working towards for like 10, 11 years in comedy and as a comedian, to having it snatched away from you or losing it all, losing your money, losing your house, and losing all my brand deals, my manager, my job, basically. And then my father passing away was probably the darkest moment, but was probably the biggest motivation anyone could ever ask for to be successful.
Wow. So what happened?
It was, you know, I was a poster boy for cancel culture. I think I was one of the first people to get cancelled for saying stupid stuff. It's very difficult, the line of comedy, and I'd often cross it as I was beginning to start my career, because you get viral activity from being controversial. It's very difficult to, it's even more so difficult now to be controversial, and I was angry doing stand-up, and they'd labelled my TV show at the time an almanac for rape, saying that I was teaching men rape culture, because I was teaching men how to pull birds or pull women, you know, nick birds, as I said it back in the series, you know, how to attract women and get with women through comedy and confidence, and they called it an almanac for rape culture. It was really it really angered me, and on stage I was talking about it, and some of the stuff I said was a bit out of line, and some of it was taken out of context, and don't argue with the press. That's the key.
Yeah.
And from there, it was just a fucking mass brawl. Basically, all of the journalists, all of the publications. It was like the same stories were getting syndicated. They created a petition. 60,000 people signed it to get my show cancelled, and then the brands jumped. They contacted all my brands. Contacted my manager, other talent that was on the management. And before I knew it, it was over.
Everything
was over.
Everyone gone.
Yeah, bang, done, everything. I ended up on Newsnight just because the press just wouldn't leave me alone. So I ended up on Newsnight. My father had died. I was just a broken man and just apologised and just said, look, I quit, you know, just leave me alone. It was devastating, really.
Wow.
But also you think to yourself, fuck, you know, I can't believe that happened. That was mad. I was only having a laugh.
Yeah, wow. Shit.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about that comedy line, definitely, because that's relevant right now. How much money do you reckon you lost in that whole thing? Because I like business. I like talking money.
I know how much I had just under $500,000 in the bank at the beginning of that year, and by the end of it, I had I didn't even have a place to stay. I got sued as well by the National Lottery for some content that I put up, as if they ain't got enough fucking money. loads of different things. Loads of stuff happened. I got, you know, my tour had been cancelled. I was in breach of contract of a tour. That was another 500 advance. You know, there was various different advances for brand deal. I worked out that the advances that I'd had on a book deal, on a tour, on different things, it's probably just under £1 million in total in what future revenue would have been and what I had saved. And I ended up at my lowest with a pregnant missus, a beagle, and in up in Manchester. My missus is from Tilsley in Manchester, very working class, rough town, and I ended up in their end of terrace house in the box room, like the three of us in a tiny little room with no money, and that was 2017, yeah.
Wow. So you lost the tour, your show.
Yeah, sold out as well. It was sold out.
How, why would they the cancel it if you're a comedian?
The press were targeting the promoters and the venue owners and saying that I was spreading hate speech because of one fucking joke. So, you know, they said that, you know, the press were like pro-rape comedian coming to town because I joke about rape. It was insanity.
But I mean, Jimmy Carr did a pretty big joke on...
Jimmy Carr, more or less his old current Netflix special was about rape. Ricky Gervais jokes about rape. Jimmy Carr, for example, is a well-spoken upper-class comedian. So he's considered by the mainstream papers like The Guardian and or journalists or just the comedy world and public as ironic. If you do jokes like that and you're working class with a Cockney accent, you're a danger. Class, yes, classism. There's a lot of that in it.
How does that make you feel?
I don't know, man. Like, you know, it is what it is. I'm happy about who I am, and I've got a great following that represents. My following, I've got nearly 5 million followers across all my social media, and I think those people represent the like-minded, intelligent people that know there's no malice in what I say. It's comedy. Anyone else can go fuck themselves.
Isn't comedy supposed to be the place where you can say this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I posted a video this morning. I've got a character called Sesh Gremlin that represents an evil voice inside my mind that's to do with drink and drugs. And, you know, when it comes to the weekend, he's been talking to me all day today. You know, it's the weekend. Let's get smashed. Let's get on it. And I created a character out of that. And I got a lot of messages this morning. Don't you think it's disrespectful to be doing comedy today when the Queen died yesterday? And I said, no, not at all. I said, if you're sad because the Queen died, fucking wouldn't you like something to make you laugh? And if, what about all the people that aren't concerned about the Queen dying? Are their lives meant to be on hold? So it's a tricky line.
But do you think, has comedy changed in that regard then? Could you take risks before that you can't now, or has it always been there?
It depends on the comedian. There's some comedians out there that don't really care, but for me, because I'm social media based, it's scary, you know? I'm not a mainstream TV comedian anymore. I'm not, you know, my tour ticket sales and all of my revenue streams and my businesses are all based around my social media. So to be deplatformed for a joke is a real issue for me. But you've got someone like Bill Burr or Jimmy Carr or you know, these, or Ricky Gervais, they're bigger than fucking cancel culture. You know what I mean? They're selling out tickets no matter what. They don't care if they lose their Twitter, their Instagram or their Snapchat. You know, they're massive.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're at that level, I don't think it's an issue. Say whatever you want.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit what The Guardian's saying.
Does that feel unfair?
No, I've just got to work harder to get to that position.
Yeah, just is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Interesting. Yeah. Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Well, this is what I wanted to do, get an insight into your world. Fucking hell, man.
Yeah.
Where do we go after this? You said it was also one of the best things that happened to you. That's a surprise after what you've said. So why was it also one of the best things?
Well, just because I think that without that loss, I wouldn't have been successful in business because I had a long period of maybe 2 to 3 years or definitely 1.5 to 2 years where not a brand on this planet would touch me, not a TV studio would have me, not a, you know, there was no point me coming up with concepts for TV or film. No celebrities would be near me, no agencies would employ me. So I solely had to create revenue streams through my social media. And I made millions since then. So I don't, without being big-headed, I mean,
You've got the motivation to do that.
I've got the motivation now. I managed to think about my demographic in detail, the different things that my demographic wants and consumes. And then all of the people that come to me for brand deals before that wouldn't work with me, I looked at their brands and why they wanted to use me and created my own. And then by the time I got back to comedy and got back to making films and creating content and working, I'd set myself up for life, so business-wise.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, so, brilliant. You know, anyone that's going through anything out there, it's happening for a reason.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes it takes you a few years beyond it to be able to look back and see what
Yeah, 100%, and you've got to appreciate what you've got a little bit more. Yeah.
You had your wife, you had your baby coming, you had that, didn't you?
And when you lose everything, you take you take it all a little bit more seriously, do you know what I mean? So yeah. Yeah, exciting, eh?
Yeah. So media and social media, let's talk about that. So you got cancelled, it sounds like, from sort of more mainstream media, but now you have more control, it sounds like, through social media. Is that the truth?
Yeah, I mean, social media for me was a problem getting back to it, because the media had done such a, the mainstream media had done such a good hatchet job on me, convincing the world that I was like pro-rape or anti-women and abusive and malice, and that I, you know, hated women and hated minorities. They took every, you know, every concept of my jokes and rinsed the life out of it, to the extent that every time I posted, I knew that I couldn't go back to posting for a while, because every time I posted, it was just flooded with abuse. Right. For my own mental health, there come a stage where I was like, right, just step away. And then when I was strong enough, I come back and posted through that shit. Do you know what I mean? My content had to go beyond. I had to either, people had to unfollow or give me abuse, and it took years to get it back to the point where now, if you look through my comments, it's funny, great, wicked, thank you for entertaining us. Where there was a good year and a half where it was like, fuck off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. How'd you get through that then?
Head down, arse up, take the fucking, and just work through it, man. Yeah, I mean, you know,
was it necessary to do that?
Yeah. I had to. Yeah. It's a visual thing. Yeah. No, you know, you just, you know, I think once you've, like, that's what I say to people that are out there, you know, I do a lot of stuff for mental health, and I say, like, whatever you're going through now is building you for what's next. It's the way of life's, it's a way of life checking that you deserve what's next, right, and that you can handle it. So maybe you've got great success coming, maybe you've got, your business is going to take off, maybe everything's going to happen, but it wants the universe, maybe, whatever, wants to check that you can handle it, that you deserve it. And that's what I kept in my mind. You know, this is shit now because something good's coming, so just fucking get through it. And it paid off.
And how long ago was that?
2014, the shitstorm happened, and then 2015, 16, I was out of work, and then 2017, I sort of started coming back. Yeah.
And how are you different now with your business, your brand, your entrepreneurial mind? Because you say you're smart and you made a lot more money in that area. How are you different? What have you learned?
I think to create, I certainly learned to create businesses that weren't based around my popularity.
Right.
So subscription-based businesses or revenue, you know, guaranteed ongoing revenue streams that I would create, promote, and then part, like, create, promote, create, you know, create a base for it, and then pass them over for other people to manage and run.
Right.
So that if I was, again, deplatformed or chucked off, that I'd always make money for the rest of my life. Do you know what I mean? So to not rely on my reputation to generate the revenue, and also to focus on, like you always say, I listen to you all the time, focus on what I enjoy and what I love.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've got a film production company now. Any investors out there, tap me up. We've got great investment opportunities on film. And that's my passion, you know. We just finished shooting a film, big film, a lot of big famous actors in it. Got another two on the slate this year. And doing that's my passion, being in front of camera. So
do you think it's important to have multiple streams of income?
Yeah, I learned that from everything folding over me pinning it all and being a comedian. Yeah. I mean, all my industries are based around my social media following, so it's almost like I worked out, you know, like, I've got a supercar company, I've got investments in adult industry apps, and I've got a new adult industry platform that's coming out soon, which is cryptocurrency-based. It's like OnlyFans.
Yeah.
But it's all cryptocurrency-based exchange-wise, so the girls can get their money out quicker.
Yeah.
Beer, you know, I've had ventures in gambling, stuff like that, but tried to steer away from that the more I learned about mental health.
Yeah.
And yeah, so any sort of businesses, you know, I've got nightclubs, so any sort of businesses that I think are match my demographic and where I can promote, that's where I try and create the revenue streams.
And do you still always have that cloud of fear of you could get cancelled on social media?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got ADHD. I've recently just been diagnosed with adult ADHD. So my mind and my creative mind moves a lot more quicker than my logical mind. So
the filter that tells you not to say that.
I can have a great idea, put it out, and my missus will walk in the room and go, what the fuck are you doing? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, what? And, you know, you've just got to be careful. There's a, it's a very grey area, you know, what you can get cancelled for. But, you know, like, look at Andrew Tate. I mean, you know.
Do you think he knew what he was doing, though?
I mean, he was, I mean, he said a lot of stupid stuff. Do you know what I mean? He said a lot of stupid stuff that, I've got two daughters. There's a lot of stuff that he said that you're, you know, I look back on some of the stuff I said and I think it was stupid and rightly so. I should have been disciplined for it. I think the level that they go to is a little bit, for me, but for him, I don't know. I mean, some of his stuff was considered dangerous and some of the stuff people considered, but to be able to affect his revenue streams, his bank accounts and close all his social medias, I mean, to coordinate between all of the social media companies and do that's scary.
Yeah, because it was almost like overnight, wasn't it? Yeah. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Bang, gone. Mm.
Yeah.
And some of it, like, you know, how he makes his money, you know, that scheme that he had and everything, they stopped that.
Yeah.
It's real life cancel culture.
Yeah. And do you think that was fair or not fair?
I think if you don't abide by the rules and regulations on the social media sites, then yeah, certainly. But I think affecting his businesses and stuff like that's a little bit deep. But I don't know, if you want to tread that line, you've got to.
Yeah.
You know, if I mean, fuck me, I don't even really want to go into the Andrew Tate stuff because me and my missus argue about it all the time. You know, if she hears me watching a video and his voice is on it, which what we went through a period of about 3 weeks, you couldn't go on social media him being on there.
No.
Get him off the fucking thing, dude, you've got daughters. Fucking, I'm like, yeah, but it's entertaining. I mean, I don't agree with what he's saying. I just see the reaction to what he's saying and I'm like, fucking, this is mental. So yeah, it's a tricky one, mate. Let's move on from Tate.
So what, if I pick this up right, what was interesting you said is you get more controversial, you see the virality, and you sort of feel like maybe you know how to create virality, the more controversial you get, and then you get closer to this line. So are you aware of that and how close you could be getting?
Yeah, I think the key to it is, like you mentioned the piece of content that I put out before, the key to it is to be able to say what people are thinking without offending the people that aren't thinking that too much. Do you know what I mean? You've got to be able to say what people are thinking. You know, like we said, you know, especially with politics, it's a tricky one. But if I've got my finger on the pulse of the working class, which I feel like I have, because I'm from a council estate, you know, my family didn't have much. And I grew up around my mates working, moved out when I was 15, grew up in not a great area. I've got my finger on that pulse, so I know what they're thinking. And I understand that, so I feel like I have the right to slag off the Tories if I want to, or the way that they're dealing with the energy crisis and stuff like that. But you can go too far by offending people. But I like to be right on that fucking edge.
Oof.
Yeah, I like to. I because listen,
you almost sound aroused when you said that.
Oh,
you?
Right, yeah. Yeah. No. The big viral activity you get. I mean, you know when you're getting, I mean, I've got some videos that got 30, 40 million views, and you know when you're going viral because you start getting abuse. That means it's outside of your following.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's come outside of your following, and it's that abuse that really drives the viral stuff. You know what I mean? For everyone, like, what's easier for you? Just to go on and say, do you know what? That was really funny. Or if you see something you don't like, go, that's shit. Yeah. It's easier for people to say negative stuff than it is positive stuff. So that's where the activity comes from.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about, you know, you've gone viral when you've got all that hate.
Because you're outside of your catchment. You're outside of your own following that you've built.
Yeah.
That love you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And would there be an argument to say, if you try and just pull back from that line because you don't want all the hate, you're probably not truly expressing
yourself.
You're
not going to grow either.
No.
You're never going to grow. You know what I mean? You're never going to grow because people will follow you whether they like you or not, really. Do you know what I mean? If you're saying something interesting, they'll follow you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it's important. There's a lot of comedians out there, especially social media influencers. There's a lot of influencers out there that are doing the same trick they've been doing for years. And they're losing following or they're not growing massively. And, you know, because they don't want that hate. They don't, and they're not comfortable coming outside of it. But that's what we're here for, isn't it? Like, let's get the conversation going. That's what I think. I want to say something. I want people to talk about it.
Yeah. I like the hate. And I've got a sort of assistant manager agent. He's been with me for 16 years. And all the best ones, we screenshot and we collect. Yeah. We have a bit of a laugh about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got, I mean, it's a crazy thing, you know, because my inbox, I get a lot of business inquiries through my inbox, but also a lot of hate. And as soon as you engage them, they're normally, oh, fucking hell, mate, didn't think you'd reply.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, actually, like what you do, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They might have had a bad day.
Yeah, and I say to, you know, if I get really bad stuff, you know, about my kids or something like that, then I like to get into them. I'll be like, are you right? Like, what's up with your life? Do you know, like, what are you going through?
And
in order to get to that place. But then, you know, you can end up taking on people's negativity.
Yeah. Someone else who's a comedian who does characters is Sacha Baron Cohen, and it almost seemed like the more outrageous he got, the more he got love for it. Mm. Did you look at him and think, why me? And
I looked at him and thought, you know, especially Ali G. I mean, it was a different time, but a lot of platforms still syndicate his content, and you know, you can go on Channel 4 and all that, you can find his stuff. But you know, on his TV show, he had a big woman, didn't he? It was a big woman's legs, and she literally come out just underneath her vagina, and then he'd have birds going like that, and it was all about shagging his butt and stuff like that. But he's a genius, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To the media, he's a genius, you know?
Right.
So, that was satire. But Dapper Laughs that's not character comedy, no. Because I actually walk around going proper moist, she knows, and, you know, doing, you know, then they thought they weren't sketches, you know what I mean? They thought I was actually walking around with a phone doing that stuff. They didn't realise that they're actors, it's satirical. I'm taking the piss out of lad culture, but, you know, my accent and demeanour and where I'm from is a little bit too close to the mark, I think.
Yeah, so that's the class thing again in comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you... I'm friends with Russell Cain, and he talks about that... Well, we talk in private, so I won't mention it, but can you be critically acclaimed comedian and risky, say whatever you want?
I don't know. It depends, really. I know Russell very well as well. Good pals with Russell. And I think that Russell's a brilliant comedian. I think that the way that he talks, the way that he can get onto a subject, a current subject, current affairs, and riff and talk about it is genius. But that all depends in the comedy world. You know, comedians won't like you for that. Comedians are the biggest bitches on this planet, mate, really.
Wow.
They're like a bunch of fucking housewives. It's unbelievable, honestly. Like, I don't know where in the history of fucking comedy would you have 25 comedians sign an open letter to get a comedian cancelled, which they did with me, 25 of them. Some of them really famous comedians now. Some of them that fight and advocate, you know, free speech and being allowed to say what you want, but they wouldn't be cancelled because of some of my jokes. And if you don't, if you're not really conventionally doing comedy the way that the critics like it or the way that the comedians like it or the panel shows like it, then you're not actually a comedian. You're just a social media star that's trying to do comedy. It's weird.
Yeah, and how do you feel about that?
I couldn't give a fuck. I make more money than all of them combined together, so I couldn't give a shit. There's probably not many comedians out there that are doing shows that are generating the sort of revenue that I am, so stick to your comedy, do you know what I mean? And so I can sell out, you know, so done the O2, the Indigo at the O2, sold that out quick.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I'll stay in my path where I'm not really a comedian, and I'll sell out my stand-up comedy shows and I'll have my businesses, and they can stay over there. I lost all respect for a lot of them, really.
Mm.
When I was sort of told not to do the circuit and to stay. Right. I mean, I spent my whole childhood doing the open mic circuit, do you know what I mean?
Like, you earned your right.
Oh yeah, I earned my right, but they only know me from Vine, do you know what I mean? I spent years on the circuit, years doing like butlins, red coating, fucking cruise ships and stuff like that. But because I became famous on social media, I'm not allowed to be part of that game. It's good motivation.
Yeah.
Twats.
Has social media changed comedy?
Yeah, I think that a lot of comedians now, I mean, I wasn't saying all comedians, I was saying that the ones that are against social media. There's a lot of great comedians over there. And in fact, I was on a brilliant podcast. It's called The Free Pod. I think, is it Free Pod? Free Pod. Check it out. I was on a brilliant podcast with three great comedians, and they all are right on the edge and out there. And they're starting to grow their social media, and there's a huge audience for risky comedy and say what you want. There is a great audience that, you know, there is a great movement out there for people that don't care about political correctness and all that stuff. And a lot of comedians are trying to, can see the value in social media. You grow your social media following, you're selling out shows.
So do you sell all your shows through your own social media as opposed to needing agent, booking company, whatever?
Yeah. When my tour got cancelled, I said to myself, I'll never work with a promoter again.
You're going to be your own promoter?
Yeah. If I want to do a UK tour, or UK Australia tour, or even a UK America tour, we just go into the social media, find out where the largest collection of fans are, and get my PA to contact the venues, book them direct, and sell the tickets online. It's not difficult.
Right, and I guess you make more money because you're not giving away a load of money.
Yeah.
What do the promoters take?
Promoters normally they don't even take a percentage. I would have a manager that would take a percentage, and the promoter, say for instance, if you've got 500 grand's worth of ticket sales, they'll say, look, we'd give you 300 grand up front on the view that they'll be able to sell it out and clear the profit.
Right.
So
they pay you a one-off fee.
Yeah. And I'm always fairly confident. You know what I mean? I've grown my database, not just on social media. For every time I do a show or anything, I get people to sign up for a ticket release via their email.
So that's smart.
Yeah, and I've been doing that for years. Yeah,
because no one can cancel you off your own email address.
No.
But any other social media. Yeah. So you have your own platform through email.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And also, not just that, I'll physically say to them, look, I've got 50,000 people on this email list. They're all getting the ticket link on Friday. There's only 2,500 tickets.
Yeah.
You miss it, you miss out. And it creates that urgency and gives people a feeling before they've even got to the show that they're lucky to be there, which is vital.
So you become a marketer as well then?
That's when people ask me what I do. I mean, my passion is comedy, but my job is, I'm a social media marketer, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine Joe Rogan probably doesn't. Does he have a promoter? I guess he won't need one anymore, will he?
I don't know. When you're at that level, I don't know, he'd probably do it for ease. Do you know what I mean?
Just
for ease. But I mean, don't get me wrong, if I've got a great deal, a great offer from someone that come to me, then maybe, but just out of spite, there's certain parts of this industry that I don't want to take my money.
But like you said, it's the best thing that's happened to you. They've done you a favour to manage all your own business affairs internally and not be reliant on them.
Yeah. You know, I've got my own social media team that creates, if I want videos, if I film a video and I want them done specially, or my marketing material. Because I've got multiple businesses, so for my nightclub, if we're doing a big rally with the supercars, or we're doing it, I've got a team that creates everything. So once I push the button on saying, I say to my PA, right, I want a tour, find the locations, liaise with them, this is the name of the tour, I've done the marketing material, once you set it in motion, right, it's done. Just all I've got to do is press the button and sell it, yeah.
I can't stress this enough. I just want to stress this right now to everyone listening. With all the shit that's going on in the world, your employer might not even be able to run their business because they could go under because of how crazy inflation, the recruitment market is. You can get cancelled tomorrow on any platform. There can even be a run on the banks because I don't know how far we're away from that. They did it in Japan just recently. So managing your own income streams and your own business affairs that no one can take away from you is absolutely critical.
100%. And I think that, I've always looked at everything I'm doing. I'm like, how can I cut them out? How can I get rid of them? Why do I need them? I want to be completely self-sustained. One of my jobs, the job I had when I was being a comedian, and when I was growing my social media right at the beginning back in Vine, I was doing working on the cruise ships and trying to be a comedian, come back when I was about 24 and I was like, it's not working, I'm not making enough money. I've always wanted my own business and stuff. Went back, became a estate agent for a period of time, and within 8 months I'd thought to myself, this is fucking easy work, right? And then from about eight months up to about a year and a half, I was planning on opening my own business. And 2 years into it, I started my own estate agency, letting agency, and started letting out flats and stuff like that. And then maybe 2 and a bit years into that, I sold it to do this. And that always stuck with me. So anyone that ever came to me with an idea or a business or something they wanted to do, I looked at it and I thought, well, why do I need you? Do I need you? And I mean, I just take ideas off people. If you come to me, you know what I mean? If you, I'm that's how I am. Like, if you come to me with an idea, but I don't need you, it's my idea now. It's as simple as that, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got to be intelligent about how we do business. So if you, like, for instance, one of my sayings was proper moist back in the day. I used to say proper moist, and it was massive on Vine and stuff like that. And they come to me once with, this company come to me once and said, you know, we want to make oyster cards, but for you moisture cards, because my biggest audience was in London, so they wanted to make moisture cards. And I was like, all right, fantastic. And they said, look, we can get the cards and we can retail them for, they cost about £3 to make, and we can retail them for £8, and we'll give you £1. So they were giving me, you know, £1 out of it. And I was like, trying to negotiate with them. I was like, what are you talking about? You can't fucking sell these things without me. How about I give you £1? And they said, no. So I said, all right, well, fine, don't worry, I'll do it myself. And they said, well, you can't. I said, well, you didn't ask me to sign an NDA or nothing like that. So I went out and I found a sticker that you could put, we created a sticker that you could put on the oyster cards for 30p and sell them for a fiver. And that was like my first 50 grand.
Wow.
Yeah, that's when I quit the estate agent. So I was like, fuck that, mate. It took me a year here to make that.
Yeah.
We've done it in 2 days, so. And the same thing would happen. If you can't, if they wouldn't negotiate correctly with me, you know, they wanted to do Rainmax, another company comes to me, Rainmax, proper moist Rainmax. And I was like, that's a fantastic idea. Yeah, what's the split? And it wasn't in my favour. And I said, well, look, I'm just going to do it myself. So can you improve the split? And they wouldn't. I went, like, great, see you later. Would have bought the Max, got someone to print it and sold them.
Mm.
Festival season, cleaned up.
Wow. Sounds like you gave them a chance first. You
didn't, always, yeah, yeah. Just renegotiate, you know, and, yeah. Or get me to sign some paperwork. Oh, well, I'll fuck myself now, because anyone that comes and talks to me. But, you know, it's different. If you come to me and want to invest in any of the projects I'm doing, then those sort of people, they're a different kettle of fish. You know, it's serious, you know, lawyers and everything like that. But if you're an online company that's trying to promote their brand or trying to make money off me, then,
yeah,
you've got to be intelligent.
Yeah, that's your name, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got to be intelligent about it. Otherwise, I'm just taking it.
Mm. How do you feel if someone nicks your jokes?
That's good. That's a good, I take it as a compliment now, personally, myself. Unless they're bigger than me.
Yeah.
Then.
What, because they're cashing in on you?
Yeah, I mean, if they're up-and-coming comedians, and don't get me wrong, loads of up-and-coming comedians. I mean, even comedians that are bigger than me now, online, I'm not going to name any names, but online comedians, they used, you know, my way of creating comedy and my way of doing things. But that's fine. I see that as a compliment. But if you're someone bigger than me with a bigger platform passing my content off as your own, then I find that offensive, yeah.
Would you do anything about it ever?
Only if they were making money out of it.
Mm.
If they were just growing their following, then nah. And I wouldn't slag them off or do online beef or anything like that. I'm not really... I mean, maybe if they were bigger than me, but because if they respond, then I can grow from it. But
right.
Not if they're. So, I mean, I get constantly loads of smaller influencers or smaller people with smaller followings, you know, trying to give me shit and stuff like that. But
to leverage your following,
to leverage my voice.
Yeah. Mm. So, you just said about online beef. That's something you don't like, or you do like?
No, I'm from a business perspective, I can be quite cutthroat just because you know. Business has been cutthroat with me, you know what I mean? But from a personal perspective with people, I just only care about positive things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if someone's giving me shit, you don't know what they're going through behind closed doors. You know, if someone comes up to me in the street and says something, that's a different story, do you know what I mean? If you're in my face. But online and other content creators trying to grow their platform, it doesn't bother me.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm secure enough in my own little bubble.
Yeah,
and I am about positive vibes, spreading positive, nice things. It's very easy to ruin someone's day by being abusive to someone else online. You know what I mean? I could go online and say, this person done this person, and the person who's watching it suddenly goes, oh, fucking hell. Like, and they've got horrible taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just all about comedy, light, laughter, love.
Yeah.
Dancing, singing, being silly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You and I first met at a Man Talk where... Yourself, myself, a couple of other, someone from who'd been on, was it Love Island? I'm still in touch with him. And we all just sat on the stage and just basically like bore our soul of all of the issues we have as men. What do you have to say about that? The difficulty maybe as a man there is with your mental health or asking for help. And of course, male suicides, appallingly high.
I had suicidal thoughts after my father passed away because I was heavily into cocaine use, you know, drink and sesh culture. And I broke up with my missus when she told me she was pregnant and she couldn't handle it. Do you know what I mean? I've been with her for about six years at that point. And she was told she could never conceive, that she had polycystic ovaries. So, you know, the day after my father passed away, she told me she was pregnant. And I was like, fuck this. It was just too much. And I knew I was on my way out. You know what I mean? I thought it was unfair that my father was taken away from me after that. I'd lost everything. I just thought, this is not fair. Like, so you've ruined my career. I don't know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe it's myself, but you ruined my career. You've taken my father and now you're going to make me a dad. You're going to give me, right now, you're going to give me that. So I couldn't handle it. And I ended up staying with the wrong person that I shouldn't have been staying with, and got heavily into the sesh culture. And one night I thought to myself, yeah, you know, I don't want to be here. And I was thinking about how to end it. Luckily, through my wisdom, I rang the Samaritans. It's not an advert for the Samaritans, it's real. I rang the Samaritans, spoke to them for about 45 minutes and realized how low I was and how dark a place I was in, but also felt lighter, like, wow, it can't really get much worse than that. It can't. So tomorrow's a new day. It's probably going to get better.
Yeah.
And through that, and talking about that on other podcasts, millions or hundreds of thousands of lads reach out to me, and I don't always have the time to respond to them. Well, I rarely have the time to respond to them. So I created my own Facebook group called Mates, Men and Their Emotions. I started it last week, actually, and we have 15,000 lads sign up to it in a day.
Wow.
Yeah, it's free.
Can we give that a shout out?
Yeah, it's on Facebook. It's completely free. It's just Mates, M.A.T.E, Men and Their Emotions. It's got a green logo. You go in and it's a beautiful thing, right? People submit posts that they want to put up. They can do it anonymously. So they put the posts in and me and my team sit there and we pick which ones. We like to get variety. Someone might say that I've got a gambling addiction. I've lost all my money. My wife doesn't know. Or someone might say, I can't see my kids. My wife's taking my kids. Men only. My wife's taking my kids away. Or I'm suicidal or whatever. You click accept, you put it on, and the men just flood the comments. I've been there, or I've done that, or don't do it, or have you tried this? Have you tried that? And they're just men talking to men. You know what I mean? Men yeah. talking to men about stuff that men don't talk about. And then we've got our first live event next Wednesday at my nightclub.
Wow.
Yeah. So it should be a good little money on it. No, I'm joking. No, it's alcohol free. You know what I mean? The bar's shut. It's just a safe space. No entry, completely free of charge. And then similar to the man talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think that with our culture, with drugs, with drink, with masculinity, with the fact that we're meant to be providers, you know, we're meant to be providers, we're meant to be out there providing money, we're meant to be looking after our family, you know, we're meant to be big, strong men. And you live with a woman, most of us, you know, unless you're gay or whatever, but you live with a woman and you're supposed to be a man. So where do you turn when things are going wrong? It's hard.
Mm. And if someone is struggling, what's one bit of helpful wisdom you might be able to give them?
Just remember that, you know, just think, like I said before, that, you know, most of the time, times are really bad before something good happens, and the people around you, and this is deep, but the people around you would much rather hear about your problems than hear about your death. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I know for a fact that if I rang up one of my mates and I said, listen, can we go for a walk or for a pint, or I've got some stuff to get off my chest, he would think, thank you, man. Your friends feel privileged. And if you haven't got friends, go and join the group and talk to strangers anonymously. That's what they're, all these men out there are talking anonymously to each other. It's brilliant. Yeah.
We do a couple of these random rounds on this show. One of them's called the What Do You Think About round, where we just talk about some interesting people. And one of them's the quick fire round.
Okay.
Up for it?
I'm up for anything, mate. Yeah.
What do you think about Joe Rogan?
I love him personally, and I like when he goes onto weird tangents and shit. I love it because I find Joe Rogan a good bit of escapism, you know what I mean? I think he's intelligent. I like his show. I like the variety of guests that he gets on. And I'm into all weird stuff as well, like, you know, UFOs and crazy conspiracy theories as well. So I love it.
So do you think there are such things as aliens then?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
You got proof then?
I haven't got proof of it. I haven't.
You 100% think?
Oh, when I was a kid, I used to write into, this is going to fuck me up now, but when I was a kid, I used to write into all the magazines and all that. I used to, of course. I mean, we'd be insane. I mean, how can there be millions and millions and millions and millions of sightings and they're all fake or people making them? And also, I just think it's a little bit self-indulged to think we're the only intelligent life out here. Or they're not aliens and they're us coming back in time machines, like viewing, like this is a holiday from coming back and going, this was the week where the Queen died. And they're like, oh, this is the Second World War. This is D-Day. And they're up there like that. There's people like us up there going, fucking, that was mental back then. That's what I reckon. But I've done a lot of drugs, so.
Yeah, I've never talked about, I've done 850 episodes of this show and I've never talked about other life out there. Yeah. So let's sit in it for a bit then. Mm. I hadn't planned to do this, but what I am confused about is, on the one hand, there, it looks like this infinite space, infinite systems and galaxies. So when you think of it like that, how can we only be the only life form on the only planet in the infinite systems? So on the one hand, I think, come on. But then on the other hand, I think there's still no hardcore proof.
Well, the thing is, the only proof that I need is why do they have sections of the government that solely deal with that stuff? It's a well-known fact that in the UK they have UFO and extraterrestrial departments that deal with that stuff, and in America it's fucking massive part of their government. They've got a whole section of their government.
But surely something at some point would have been leaked enough for there to be proof.
It is always
though,
leaked,
wouldn't there?
Isn't it? It's always leaked. Area 51, all that stuff's leaked, but people go, that's bollocks. That's conspiracy theories, didn't they? There's fucking thousands of generals and people coming out that were real generals in the military. I mean, I'm starting to sound like a crank now, but they, you know, there's people that were high up in the military that come out and said, yes, I've seen the spaceships, I've been there. And people go, it's just gone mad. They've all gone mad. Why would you do that if you're a respected person in the military?
But why can they never win over the nation and prove it beyond doubt? Because if someone had proof beyond doubt.
What is proof beyond doubt? Now you can stand in front of you. That's the only thing. Think of what you think proof is. We've seen that. There's been documents come out after that are allowed to be released, and people just look at them and go, oh, it's just a document. Like, what is proof? Unless someone goes, look, there's one over there. Like, what are you going to do?
Why isn't there one over there then? Why haven't they just dropped in?
Hysteria, isn't it? Mass hysteria. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
if there was aliens, I mean, look, we can't even deal with a fucking virus.
No, we can't. You're right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, look at the fucking state of people. That we don't like each other. Do you know what I mean? We don't like each other. Nations don't like each other. Yeah. Races don't like each other. So,
I want to jump in on that one, if you don't mind. I thought this. I don't know what you think about it. If you think about the chances of us all being on this planet at the same time, it's like one zillion to one.
Mm.
Like the millions of years before that there's been life force, because I think we go back a few million years.
Yeah.
And maybe the millions of years after going forward. You and I are sharing the same moment in time, and the odds of that are about a zillion trillion to one.
Mm.
I should fucking love you. Why should you be my enemy? We're fucking privileged to be together in this tiny moment.
Yeah, that's because our minds are too small, man. We don't think like that, do we? We think about now. We think about the differences of now. Right now. I mean, there's so much that people don't think about in general. I mean, if you look back before there was even a fucking boat on this planet, before you could even go from one country to the other, there was the same structures all over the planet, pyramids. Mm. So how did someone in North America or South America know to build the same shape, the same thing as someone in Egypt? How do they know that? Perfect maths in these things. Was it them building them, or what were they built for? Why were they all over the whole fucking planet when no one even knew someone lived over there? You couldn't even get there.
Yeah.
See, don't start me on this shit. I'm like a stoner, mate. I'll keep going.
This just makes me worry. we'll move on. What do you think of Sacha Baron Cohen?
I think he's a genius. I think he's brilliant. I think the way he embodies, he's definitely inspired me a hell of a lot. I mean, the way that he embodies his characters. I like to think that I'm a unique comedian online in regards to creating character content. I've got like Kid Frankie that I do, you know, the Sesh Gremlin. I've had like the Squadron Leader. I've got all these variety of different characters, and I make them through apps and doing it, and I'm just really getting into my films now and playing characters in films and stuff. So when I look at how he creates a character, it's like creating a brand. The way he does it, the way he nails it, and the way he doesn't come out of it, I think he's a genius, and how funny he makes it is brilliant. Because when you create a character, it's not just about how you look and what you say, it's about the demographic or the person or the or what you represent as that. Like, you know, if he's a chav as Ali G, then think of all the comedy he has to write around taking the piss out of chavs. Yeah, and then he has to deliver that as a chav.
When he's not a chav.
When he's not a chav.
Yeah.
So it's people don't realise the depths that you've got to go to. You've got to be something that would take the piss out of saying why you are that thing. You know.
What I found really clever with what he did as well was he brought Borat in very slowly as a little small sketch in his main show. Because how do you replace Ali G?
Yeah.
But he actually did it and topped it and brought it in slowly and gained him a bit of popularity. I thought that was really clever.
Well, I think I can relate to a little bit how maybe that happens, because it's not necessarily sometimes about running out of material. Like Kid Frankie is arguably, for my followers, one of their favourite characters that I do, and constantly my inbox and comments are, when's there more Kid Frankie? And it's not that I'm bored of it or exhausted the content. It's like, when something's good, sometimes you just want to leave it alone so you don't fucking ruin it.
Right.
And I feel like Ali G thing was so good, it got to a point where it's like, right, what's next?
So timing it to not...
don't milk it. Don't overcook it. Don't overcook it, because comedy consumers and entertainment consumers, once they get that bad taste in their mouth about something, they go from loving it to hating it overnight.
How do you know when that moment is, though? Because some people have done the same character for decades.
Feels organic. Right. When it stops feeling organic and natural to you, when you've got to put too much effort into creating it, it should come to you naturally.
Right.
If you're like believing, like the stuff I believe in when it comes to writing and creating comedy, it should come to you naturally. It should flow out of you. When you've got to sit down and fucking work hard on it, it's time to leave it for a little bit.
Right.
Or completely.
Yeah, wow. What do you think of Will Smith and the slap?
I think he's a twat. I think he ruined... He's a prick, isn't he? I think he's a twat for his actions, but I think that he's in an abusive relationship, and the reason he done it is because he's in an abusive relationship. I think, like, you know, if you've got to sit there and get up and slap someone in the face for taking the piss out of your wife, you're not doing that because of your own ego. You're doing that because you know your wife is going, what are you going to fucking do about that? Do you know what I mean?
Wow. And so you think she's abusing him?
Yeah, I think she's mentally abusing him, yeah, 100%.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, you can see on some of the content that goes out there that you know, she's got cameras in his face when he's at home, you know what I mean? He's a, you know, he doesn't want that in his house. And the way she goes on and talks about sleeping with other men behind his back to the world, what do you think that does to a man? Emasculates you, makes you, you know, everyone goes, why won't you leave her? Well, why would you leave a woman that you'd fight for her, wouldn't you? You feel emasculated and not wanted. So what's your natural, if you're insecure, what's your natural thing? Make her want you. Do everything you can to make her want you. And she ride off that. And, you know, I think he you could see that he had no power in that position in his own mentality. And also it fucked up a lot for the comedy, you know. If someone gets up on stage to slap me, they're getting punched in the face. If you come up to me while I'm working, I mean, I say that, but I've been hit a couple of times doing comedy. I've actually been knocked out.
Really?
Yeah,
knocked out?
Yeah, a couple of times. I spoke about it loads of times, yeah. When I've crossed the line, I won't go into too much. But I mean, like, you know, I'm not going to stand there. If you're coming up, then let's go. But I think that sets a bad precedent for people then, after watching that clip, going to open mic comedy nights, going into the comedy store, sitting down, someone says something you don't like, you can get up and slap them. No, you can't.
No.
If you're that sensitive to what people are saying to make people laugh, don't go to a fucking comedy club. Do you know what I mean? If you're upset and offended by that, bad enough, just get up and leave.
Wasn't there someone who went up and tried to shoot someone recently?
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Was it Dave Chappelle? Yeah.
Someone tried to shoot him.
They went on stage to attack.
Yeah, didn't try and shoot him, but...
Like, what's the world coming to, you know? There shouldn't really be anything you can't joke about if you do it in the right way.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, fuck, you know, we called her G.I. Jane because she had alopecia. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really? Like... is it that bad? Is it that bad? Is it worth getting physical with someone about that? Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? No. If someone, if, I mean, really, would you be that upset about it? I mean, I've never had alopecia, but I mean, I've had some fucking issues. People, I hear fucking great stroke jokes. My dad died of a stroke. I mean, and I've heard some fantastic stroke jokes, and I'm like, fucking, that's funny, but that's me. Do you know what I mean?
What's interesting about that is he had a fucking long walk to go and slap him.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, because you think, surely, with that long walk...
I think there's more in it, you know, because Jade and Chris Rock have worked on certain things. She's obviously likes dick. So...
So what more is in it?
Well, I reckon Chris Rock's been in it.
Really?
Do you know what I mean? Come on, man.
Shit.
Yeah, keep your wife's name out of your mouth.
Yeah. Fucking mouth, wasn't
keep
it?
Keep out your fucking keep mouth. Your keep your mouth.
Yeah,
like, come on, man.
Fucking mouth.
Like, you,
so you think there's history there?
Definitely. I mean, I don't want to speculate, yeah. But if they've worked on stuff together and she likes to sleep around, and he's a famous celebrity, you know, they're close-knit and, you know, they have an open relationship or whatever, then probably... Why not? You know?
Wow.
Because yeah. The reaction was not warranted for the reaction, you know, the joke didn't warrant that reaction. No way.
You know? Just the length of the walk, you'd have thought he would start to have doubts. What the fuck am I doing? Which told me, as long as it wasn't staged, he must have been tunnel visioned with, jacked up with emotion.
Emotion and rage. And
yeah.
It ain't from a joke, you know.
No.
I don't think it was set up. You can tell by the interviews he's been doing recently, you know.
Don't think it was set up.
What's he benefiting from that?
Yeah. And what about Chris Rock and how he handled it? What do you think?
Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ticket sales went up after.
Probably be thanking him. You should be paying him a commish.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know... I don't know if I would have reacted the same way, but
I thought he acted like a real pro.
In front
of the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah, it was mental. It was quality, though. I love shit like that. I was like, woo! Yeah.
Was that one of those moments where you thought, has this just fucking happened?
Yeah. I was like, whoa, right. Yeah. What can I do with this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Stitch.
Yeah. I think I did do some jokes around it. I can't remember now.
Yeah. What do you think of Ricky Gervais?
Oh, I think he's the top, man. I think he's, I think he's brilliant. I think he's, there's another YouTuber that I don't like. We had a bit of an argument and I saw that he had him on his podcast. I was so jealous that I've never met him. I think he's brilliant. I think that the way that he makes you feel guilty for being offended by his jokes right up to the moment that he says stuff that's going to offend you is fucking beautiful.
Mm.
So he'll go on stage and it's, you know, like when he does the Bruce Jenner stuff and he's like, you know, because Bruce Jenner had that car crash and, you know.
Caitlin.
You need
to stitch that up for YouTube. Harry, you need to get that part and stitch it up.
Don't do that. Yeah, she seems lovely. done great, you know, that joke where he's saying, you know, if I said this, you'd be offended. And if I said this, you'd be offended. Like if, you know, it'd be silly to be offended, you know, if I said this, right up to the point where he says, you know, you've done great stuff for women, not so great stuff for women drivers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And the way that he leads you up to it, that you laugh and you think, oh, you know, he doesn't mean it, you know. He's just got a beautiful way of doing it, and that's a skill in its own. Like, that's outside of my intellectual level.
Yeah.
So I look up to him, yeah.
Yeah, on his last show, he managed to hear every single taboo without it really being taboo.
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Like I said, with the delivery, you know, you make the audience feel stupid for being offended before you say the joke, and he's brilliant at doing that.
Yeah.
And it's true what he says, you know, it's just a joke. They're just words.
Yeah.
You know, it's just words.
Yeah. What do you think of Emily Maitlis?
I don't know, man. She sort of symbolises the end of a real dark time for me. She symbolises a dark time for me, but she's just doing her job, man. She's a journalist. A lot of the stuff I said back then was stupid. She does the same thing I do. When there's a bandwagon to create content around, I'll jump on it. And I was that bandwagon at the time, so... yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wish I'd done it differently. Do you know what I mean? I wish I'd gone on as another character. I wish I'd gone on Newsnight as an Oxford-educated comedian and shocked them all and said, you know, really played up that Dapper Lass, you know, really pushed the fact that Dapper Lass was a character even more so by being, you know, hello, yes, you know, yes. I can't believe it was just a social experiment and you've all fallen for it. You know, I really wish I'd done that, but I don't think they would have aired it if I'd done that. They wanted that apology. So, yeah, no bad thoughts towards her. She's just doing her job.
Yeah. What's your biggest regret?
Newsnight.
But I didn't mean to time it like
yeah,
that. But,
and yeah. It was, yeah. I wish I was strong enough not to have apologised that much, do you know what I mean? I wish mentally I was strong enough back then to have gone, look, I said some stuff that was out of line, but there's no malice in it.
Yeah.
Instead of going, I'm sorry, I've done wrong, and da da da. Because the truth was, there was no malice in it. That's why Big Brother for me was actually a positive thing. I turned Big Brother down so much because I really felt like Big Brother symbolizes the ends of people's careers.
Yeah.
I feel like when I went on there, the nation or the small amount of people that watched Big Brother went from thinking that I was a horrible malice, evil woman hating, sexist, misogynistic pig to just thinking I was a twat.
Which is a step up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. A twat that says stupid stuff.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like your brother or your,
yeah.
or your, you know, whatever when, you know, when they're with their mates, you know, which I'm happy with. I'm yeah. happy with being a twat. As long as you can take the malice out of, if you can take that spiteful malice out of what you think about me
yeah.
and you just think like he's a bit of a dickhead, I'm happy with that.
So Big Brother was good for you then?
Yeah. And it was the first bit of money that I pulled in.
What do they pay?
They give me 80 grand for that.
Yeah.
Which at the time, I mean, it's a lot of money at any time. But yeah. I mean, at the time it was.
Yeah. They're not paying now, I don't think, are they?
I'm not sure. Yeah. But I turned down, I think, 30. And then, but my dad had just died. And then the next time I come, it was a bit more 40, 50. I said no. And then it was the year of the woman.
Yeah.
And I was who I was. So right. I knew. I was like, well, you just want to double the last offer. Otherwise, I'm not even looking at it.
Yeah.
And then they did. And then come straight out of that and put that money to work.
Yeah. Great. What's the biggest risk you've ever taken?
Probably my house, my first house that I bought. I put some of that money into it and I made, that year was my first really good year. I made about 400 grand and I kept maybe about 40 of it and put the rest, all of it into my house.
Mm.
Knocked the bungalow down, built it. So I was about 500 into that. I paid, and it was 6 when I bought it, and I sold it for like 1.5.
Right.
So I flipped it, but it was scary. I'd never done any property investment, and I knew probably it would have been much more intelligent to spread that across a lot. But I just wanted it out of my hands, out of my bank account, and into something, and to forget about so I could continue making money. So probably that.
Yeah. What's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you?
Fuck, man.
Should we do another podcast just on that?
Yeah. Craziest thing? I don't know, man. I don't know. That's a whole new podcast because I've been involved in some fucking mental shit.
Should we save that for a future part
definitely.
Two then?
Yeah. Because I'd have to sit here and really think.
Yeah. All right. We'll save that one. One of my questions is, have you ever got in a fight? I think that's a stupid question now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I grew up, I was always, where I was from, it was very much, you know, everyone wanted to be hard and everyone wanted to fight. And I got bullied a little bit. And then when I was at school, because I say bullied, I was loudmouth and small, but confident. So I used to get into beating up or into fights. And then a little bit later on, I got into that scene of having fights. Do you know what I mean? If me and my mates were at the pub and other boys were there, we'd have fights. And then later on, I'd done white collar boxing and I fought Harvey MMA.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Celeb MMA.
Nice. I've
done a big celeb MMA.
Yeah.
Harvey from So Solid Crew.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of Harveys out there. You've got to make sure you.
Yeah.
Harvey from So Solid Crew. And
how'd you do?
He beat me in 21 seconds. No, he did. He beat me. But great experience. And I'm boxing at the moment, training to lose my weight. So I'll do like a
fight. You're going to have another
fight? I don't know,
It's good motivation to get in shape, isn't it?
I have, yeah. It's great to do that because it sets you a goal. I've contacted, there's a massive promotional company that are doing huge fights at the moment. You've probably seen it all over the place, and I've been in touch with them.
Yeah.
And said, if you can get me on that, I'm up for it.
Yeah. I reckon this is going to be a good question for you. Who controls the world?
Oh, man. Wow. The heads of the big corporations. I think the heads of the big corporations and the banks. You know, the pharmaceutical companies, the owners of the banks, the Rothschilds, the people like that.
Is that right or wrong?
Completely wrong. It should be run by the people, shouldn't it? I mean, listen. Personally, myself, I don't know how there has not been severe civil unrest. I mean, have a look at those massive riots they had in Clapham and all through a few years back, or 5 or 10 years back, whatever it was. I couldn't believe that was happening in front of me. Do you know what I mean? Shots and everything destroyed, and that was nowhere near as bad as what's going on now. If you have a look at this energy crisis, you know, while the energy companies are making record profits, you know, we can't afford our bills. And how is that right? How are people, well, people aren't standing for it, but how is that right? I mean, I got quoted up to £15,000 to eat my ass for a fucking year. Do you know what I mean? How is that right while they make money? So, no, I think the whole government structure is fucked, really. Do you know what I mean?
You think the revolution's coming then?
I hope so. I think Russell Brand's on the right track.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very simple concept, isn't it? It's an extremely simple concept. When the leaders are more interested in corporations and money than the people, then we are fucked. We are fucked. Do you know what I mean? Profit and shareholders and dividends over people not being able to heat their houses. It's not right, is it?
Mm.
People won't stand for it forever.
No. What's your biggest success?
My two baby girls, definitely.
How old are they now?
5 and 3. The little one, I try and do as many school runs as I can in a week. I mean, if my missus sees this, she'll call me a liar, but I do. I try. Yeah, my little baby girls, man, that's the hardest job of them all out of everything I've ever done, is being a dad.
Yeah.
Is finding that balance between work and being a dad, and also getting rid of that selfishness that it's not about you. Do you know what I mean? It's the toughest job, but the most rewarding. So yeah.
Mm. Where should people follow you? Where do you want us to go?
Well, listen, yeah, my Instagram's always the place to be. You got me on TikTok, haven't you? TikTok's good. Dapper Laughs. Instagram's good. Anyone that's interested in any of the businesses that I'm involved in, you can find them all on my Instagram. I've listed all my businesses on the top of my Instagram. So if anything matches any of your industries out there, if you've got money and you want to invest in film or anything like that, sling me a DM. If there's any synergy with anything I'm doing, I'm always up for talking business. And if you just want to come for comedy, yeah, at Dapper's Instagram.